It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
There's a new sheriff in town and his name is Reggie Hammond.
Welcome to Film Sociology. Hello, film lovers.
I wonder if he's still doing it.
Randy Moeller?
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to check that out. You know what? You could probably
check research that
during the show. See, I love when we have production meetings during the show, especially the intro. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HT2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sozi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can check out at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
Where you can read my latest installment on looking back at film year 1983, the film year that had a profound effect on yours truly, so you can blame 1983 if you must. This week's installment is the 1983 Academy Award-winning film, and just one of my favorites, Tender Mercies, written by Horton Foote, which started my lifelong... love of the writing of Juan Horton Foote. So you can check that out at the film blog. The voice you just heard, the Indianapolis president of the Randy Moeller fan club, that is Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, we need to find out if he's still doing Florida Panthers hockey. Now, for those who don't know, and you can find these on YouTube.
It's movie related.
Well, I love when we could just pull a big stretch and bring it in. Like our sports and food talk, which we'll get to my food guest in a little bit. But
we'll get to the food portion of the film show
in just a little bit. We will. You know why? Because you eat when you watch.
You do.
But on YouTube, there's a compilation of clips by Randy Moeller, who is the voice of the Florida Panthers. And his shtick is when the Panthers score a goal, he screams goal like he's doing European football.
As most... hockey, soccer announcers do.
Right. And then he will come up with either a line from a movie, TV show, or a song lyric, like you just heard at the beginning.
There's a new sheriff in town, and his name is Reggie Hammond.
From the film 48 Hours. So anyway, that's fun. It's amusing. And I guess if you have the YouTube clips, you don't have to watch Florida hockey. And
nope.
As a Red Wings fan, that's really okay. So a little later on in the show, you can hear my chat with Food Network personality and chef Claire Robinson, host of Five Ingredient Fix, as well as Food Network Challenge. And apparently she has some more stuff coming up in 2014.
Did you talk to... She has more Claire Robinson things?
Yeah, she does have Claire Robinson things.
Are those similar to Molly Sims things?
Oh, I love Molly Sims things. But also in studio with me, to my left, that doesn't help on radio, but we have the managing director of the Christian Youth Theater. That's Kelly Gualdoni. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
And we have local actor Adam Tran, who is got a project. I'm going to start with you, Adam, because I'm going to lean forward, sir.
Great.
That's there. Now it looks official. I'm trying to describe it as
changes
best.
Everything.
It's a boy band improv stage show. Am I right?
No.
No. Dead
you're,
wrong.
You're really close.
Great.
It's a parody. It's a really crass, irreverent parody of a boy band, and it's a live sitcom. So it's essentially it's a four part play,
and you're the cute one.
No, the young one's the cute one.
I see. And who's that? No, I'm kidding.
Logan Moore. Logan Moore.
So,
I'm gonna drop his name.
There you go. So anyway, and you got a show. You have the next installment coming up on
January 22nd.
And Kelly, of course, CYT is doing the musical version of Narnia, and that opens next week.
Yeah, that'll be next weekend. It runs the 12th through the 15th.
Okay. Now, I was going to start with new films, because that's what we normally do here at Film Sociology, but I have to talk a little bit about what happened last night. Now, I was on WFYI television, as you all should have known, doing pledge spots for the Joe Bonamassa concert. By the way, Kobe Slagle, I always will thank you for the Joe Bonamassa ID.
Oh, yes.
Because this show is really about collecting IDs, and the house party for that matter. So anyway, I was on the air until 9, and then I made it home. Yes, I drove through Snowmageddon, even though it didn't really happen. And I came home to see my lovely wife and lovely daughter, the smarter two-thirds, curled up, watching, of course, NBC's live production of The Sound of Music, also known online, apparently, as Crimes Against Humanity. I checked with my wife, who, by the way, equity actress and a damn fine singer, if I do say so myself. I married her. She married me. And I said, so how's Carrie doing? And she nicely said, well, she can sing. Maybe not so much with the depth and the range, but she, you know, she can carry a tune. Acting wise, and then I went downstairs because I had to check messages, and it was already, I know the story, and we're about halfway through. But I went online on Facebook and Twitter, and it was particularly nasty online. Or as Robert Irvine would say,
nasty.
Yeah, it was really nasty online. And there were a lot of people who I think reacted as if their childhood had been violated because there was a new version of The Sound of Music for one time only. Although I'm sure it'll be out on DVD next week. But
you can buy the soundtrack.
Is it out?
I saw a commercial for it during the show.
Did Mrs. Slagle say?
No. She's not home.
She was not home.
She was not home.
Did she text you?
I said, are you watching this? She says, oh my gosh, I forgot to record it. Oh, so I set up the recording.
I love how... Now she
sounds.
Now
your sounds like this.
Your wife sounds softer and fades out. We love you, Fair Sweet Bianca. You're a good sport, like all the women in my life, and his. But I mean, it was really ugly on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, really. So, this is coming from the film guy, folks. Relax, it's okay, it's fine. You know, you didn't have to watch it. It was on television. You could flip the channel. I don't think anybody was in the Clockwork Orange straitjacket with eye clamps being forced to watch this.
Probably not.
Probably not. I'm guessing. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I bet that didn't happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of TV channels out there, Matt.
There are. You know there's two devoted to cooking? And we've had them on the show.
Come on.
What a segue.
Yeah. we'll get to Claire. But no, it was just astounding. So, it started to get the feeling like nobody should touch this play ever. Even though, Richmond Civic Theater, their production of Sound of Music opens tonight. Good timing on their part.
Oh, that's just all wrong.
Really? Oh, you're right. It's an abomination, right? That, for those listening in Richmond, that's sarcasm. So, not saying you're Sheldon Leonard. You know sarcasm. But I mean, are they going to bring in laptops and go, oh my gosh, you're no Julie Andrews. You're no Carrie Underwood.
The press row is just going to be arms
crossed. Just.
I don't like it. I don't like anything about this.
But I mean, it was that bad.
Who are these kids?
The stuff online was that bad. And by the way, if there was Facebook and Twitter in 1965, the Mary Martin fan club, you know, the woman who did it originally on Broadway, would say the same crap about Julie Andrews. So get on with yourself.
Shut up! My God! You have no freaking life!
Thank you, Stephen. but seriously, I mean, and I haven't seen this much musical theater folks with their knickers in a twist since the film version of Les Mis. Which got many a dander up, I should say, online. So, is that? Yeah, we can use that. And now I'm really, really dreading when the film version of Into the Woods opens. Because, folks, and I love hearing responses from people who did high school theater and then haven't stepped on a stage in 30 flipping years. But I mean, I got it. I got it. A lot of people got introduced, a lot of young people, and maybe Carrie Underwood fans, got introduced to The Sound of Music last night. You want to go rent the Robert Wise film version? Be my guest. That's great. You know, you want to listen to the original Broadway soundtrack? You know, remember where Mary Martin really doesn't hold a grudge against Julie Andrews? At least we don't think so. go do that. That's fine. I have several different versions of Hamlet. I have several different versions of Romeo and Juliet. I will not send them to your house, Kobe. But
thank you.
Yeah. But really, folks, just lighten up.
Yeah,
all right?
And that's what you should be. That's what people should be talking about is the new audience that was exposed to this because of Carrie Underwood and this sort of thing.
Yes, but she apparently is a really bad person. But
just,
seriously,
just
I mean,
dreadful. It was a hateful woman.
The tone was that ugly. So,
she gave $4 million to charity last year. She's a terrible person.
She is a horrible human being.
But she did kind of go from like America's sweetheart to like the enemy of everyone
on
Facebook ever.
You'd have thought she took the poster from the film version and you know, use it as a towel.
Yeah.
I'm wording that carefully. I could have gone a lot worse. You know, and guess what? I bet Julie's okay. I bet she's all right. You know. I think, except for maybe Angela Lansbury watching the film version of MAME, actors move on. they do move on. So just a note to the musical theater world, and really sci-fi fantasy nerds you should listen to. Relax.
Yeah, because not musical theater, but in a couple of years, we're going to get a new Star Wars.
Oh, gosh.
And
we'll
be down the same road.
If you think I'm insufferable, Kobe, like...
I didn't read that fan fiction. I don't like it. I don't like the story.
It's just going to hurt. So, anyway, folks, just relax. Move on. And we are going to move on. But what were you going to say, Kobe?
I don't think, though, that people will be... all up in arms next week or no, 2 weeks from now when Anchorman comes out about how, they shouldn't have touched that. They shouldn't.
Well, ESPN didn't have him on the other day in lieu of the,
Yeah, but there was big stuff happening.
There was actually, you know what? Actual sports news.
Sports.
So.
Plot
things were happening in the sports world. And sorry, Will, you get to take a breather for one evening. So, all right. We are going to move on now. New in theaters today is a film called Out of the Furnace. And this is co-written and directed by Scott Cooper, who last gave us Crazy Heart. Hello, Jeff Bridges. And this has one of the most impressive cast lists of the year. Christian Bale, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck, Sam Shepard, Willem Dafoe, Forrest Whitaker, Zoe Saldana. And we have some audio.
Yes, we do.
All right.
Russell, you work too much.
Gotta bring home the bacon to fatten you up.
Oh, man. How much he loan you?
$1,500.
I ain't got that kind of cash lying around to bail you out.
Bro, you want to get a drink later?
Yeah. And a liquid dinner?
You want another?
No, Rodney was supposed to meet me here half hour ago.
Now, why the hell you want to fight?
I just need the money.
You're going to be a good boy and take a dive. I'm not going to have to teach you a lesson.
Rodney!
They haven't been able to find your brother. The people up in those hills got their own breed of justice, but it does not include us.
Mr. Groat is the worst. He haunts those mountains.
Please don't do anything for me. You don't want to go there.
We're going to get one shot at this guy. You ready for this?
Ronnie Baze's brother.
I ain't leaving without him.
Forgive me my sins, O Lord. Forgive me my sins. Forget and forgive what we have been.
You're a good kid with a good heart.
Hey, Dad.
I love you.
Get up.
You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Also forgot to mention Forrest Whitaker involved in this. So, it's watching this, gave me flashbacks to a couple of other films, one of which happens to also deal with Christian Bale, and that's The Fighter. And I think it's the relationship between the siblings, which is alluded to a little bit in the trailer. Affleck is a four-time, he took four tours of Iraq, and it's set in 2008. That's the other thing was, I kept watching this because we heard Pearl Jam, okay, mid-90s? Because nobody listens to Pearl Jam today. I'm kidding. They do. Hi, Mark Dubeck. and then we see a thing on TV about the first the 2008 election. And really, this is also set in Western Pennsylvania, which by the looks of it, it looks like 1973. But we have Casey Affleck, who is in the Army and is in debt. And then we have Christian Bale, who's got his bed-stricken dad and his uncle, that's Sam Shepard, and he works in the mill, and he's got Zoe as a girlfriend. Way to go, big fella. And things seem to be going well. And then, you know what, Kobe? Plot things. Bad plot thing happens to Christian Bale's character, which leads to even worse plot things happening to Casey Affleck. And they involve character things Woody Harrelson, who's really creepy and bad in this. I mean, in a bad mofro way. I mean, he's very sinister. As we're not sure exactly, and I'm sure I know the county. I'd have to look it up, but it's Western Pennsylvania, and there is Woody Harrelson's character runs a fight organization that is done in the backwoods and empty buildings of Appalachia. So this is it almost feels like Appalachia noir compared to Ozark noir with Winter's Bone. And Casey gets in some trouble, and Big Brother's gonna have to get him out of it. The film clocks, it's under two, and like Crazy Heart, filmmaker's last film, it does, I heard complaints in some reviews that the script meanders a little bit. I don't think it does. It's one where you could say it's a slow paced film, but it's not a slow film. You get to spend some time with these, you get to spend some quality time with character things and enjoy plot things.
Okay.
So everybody in it, I mean, it's a solid cast. Everybody's in it. Everybody in it is really good, especially Woody Harrelson. Nice balance off of, Hunger Games completely. You know what it is? It's range. Not free range, but range nonetheless. And then there's a couple of moments near the end that not my favorite choices, I don't think the best choices, but there was a moment where you see, and there's in the ad campaign, it's Christian Bale with a rifle, and he and his uncle go out deer hunting. No, not illusions or flashbacks to the deer hunter, but darn close. And it is something that basically questions Christian Bale's killer instinct, or as you called him, the American psycho guy.
Yeah.
So that's so funny. So, anyway, that comes up in the climax of the film. Not necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily needed, but it's a minor quibble compared to what's a pretty good, you know what it is almost, Kobe? Potboiler.
I was just gonna say.
You were going about to say potboiler, didn't you? So, no, it's worth checking out.
Oh, man, I lost the thing.
You lost
it. Now that was a good movie!
There you go.
Now you said this, I love it when people hear our audio for the first time.
And enjoy it. Yeah. We're so proud of ourselves.
You just said that this features one of the more spectacular casts.
This is an impressive cast.
This is an impressive cast. Also, would you say this is a more impressive cast than Christian Bale's other upcoming movie on December 20th?
Ooh.
That'd be an American
Hustle, which I'm seeing Thursday. Yeah, so you have Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jennifer Lawrence, Jeremy Renner, Michael Pena. I would say as far as, and it's a superficial reason, but I'd say as far as Academy Award hardware and nomination certificates framed on your wall, Out of the Furnace has that.
But if you're talking about good, solid holiday popcorn movies, we're talking about
American Hustle.
And pretty bankable stars, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper and his roles, his hair roles. So, and David O. Russell, who's got a slightly longer track record than Scott Cooper. But I would not be surprised if this thing holds, if enough people go see Out of the Furnace, I think you could have a Christian Bale double feature at the multiplex if you choose to do so.
Cool.
So definitely, yeah. But I'm very excited about American Hustle because mm-hmm. I think it was Rod Lurie who compared it to 70s Lumet and Scorsese for all the right reasons. So I'm very excited about that. All right. Also opening in theaters today is a documentary called The Armstrong Lie, which fun story on this. The filmmaker was, I think, originally supposed to do a kind of a puff piece on Lance Armstrong's 2008 run. And it was that way for a while, and then, well, the truth finally caught up with Lance. And he had to change the tone of the documentary, and it's all for the better. Play some audio, please.
I like to win, but more than anything, I can't stand the idea of losing, because to me, that equals death.
In 2009, I set out to make a film about Lance Armstrong's comeback year.
Lance, how are you feeling?
Nervous, but that's good.
I wasn't naive about past doping allegations.
Never tested positive.
They think he has.
He didn't.
But I couldn't help but root for the old pro.
If I win again, they can't say that. They cannot. Well, you can, but...
He had lied to me, straight to my face, all throughout 2009.
UCI would ban Lance Armstrong from cycling.
When the truth came out, I told him he owed me an explanation.
After the years and years of just the most amazing denials.
I can emphatically say I'm not on drugs.
He agreed to sit down one more time.
I certainly was very confident that I would never be caught.
The gift that he has is his gift as a storyteller.
A cancer survivor overcoming the disease comes back and wins. Yeah, they liked that.
Even in 1999, steroids showed up in a urine test.
So the guys scoured the internet, and we found one that was indeed a cream.
Cream for what we call a saddle sore.
Such a huge number of people wanted to believe that they hated anyone who didn't believe.
I mean, I'm all for a clean game, but this is ridiculous.
He was an immensely intimidating person.
You are not worth the chair that you're sitting on.
If you crossed him, you are doomed.
There are people who have really been ruined.
Lance wanted to humiliate Frankie, and he wanted to get back at me.
From that point on, I was shunned, banned from everybody, and a lot of people, you know, would look at me, shake my hand.
That celebrity is what gave him such immense power.
Simply, you don't recall just
how many times I've said it.
This is not a story about doping. It's a story about power, and the story became hanging on to that power.
Let's get to the real nature and the real detail of the story. We haven't heard it yet. Is the truth.
This is a documentary done by Alex Gibney, who also did the Enron documentary. So apparently he likes doing films about people who are absolutely insufferable. That means my documentary will be coming very soon. They're
insufferable.
The Matthew Soucy story. it's also a box set. And according to Joe Shearer, it's also an art film.
Collector's edition comes with a Haterade mug.
That's right. It's a big, big box. Sometimes I have a habit of critiquing documentaries based on the amount of information given. There have been well-made documentaries that for me personally, Matthew Soucy, it didn't do a whole lot. It didn't bring me a whole lot of new information. And I've been following the BS trail that is Lance Armstrong for a while. And of course, when I always start with, I wondered if Sheryl Crow did the soundtrack for this film. She could have. She should have. But there was interesting. There was information about this that I actually didn't know, which helps. I'm hoping more people who don't know about this go check it out. Because I'm sorry, the guy's a lying piece of garbage. And what?
I was thinking of when Robert Irvine says garbage.
It's garbage. Yes, when in doubt, quote Robert Irvine. But you do get a lot of insight. I mean, there's a lot of cycling footage, and there's a lot of interviews with him in the Pete Rose school of denial, 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 denial. And then because he also misunderstood guy. But then to find out how much of a cover-up that he had, how much bullying he did to other cyclists, former members of his team, wives of former members of his team. I mean, not a good guy at all. And not, you know, I started hitting on I started railing on the guy. that sounded bad. I started railing on the guy because he dumped his family for Sheryl Crow, and then when she got cancer, he of all people left her. So way to go, pal. Although, you know, now doping up in cycling, that just adds icing on the cake.
Kind of make you think twice about those yellow bracelets.
And of course, South Park did a wonderful episode on that, where everybody's getting their bracelets cut off because they can't believe he cheated. And in South Park, of course, it was Jesus. But there was one character, one of the boys, who was determined to not let it go. So, yeah, Livestrong, I guess, brought a lot of money to a lot of research. But I guess if you remember the scene in New Jack City, Wesley Snipes brought turkeys to the neighborhood as well. Thank you, Adam. You know, criminals donate too, apparently. Yeah. So anyway, check it out. I remember seeing this with Ed Johnson Ott, and Ed felt sorry for the guy. Ed is a little more easygoing than I am, I guess. Because there are still some questions he will not answer, even in front of Oprah. Which if you want to get off easy, so to speak, you do an interview in front of Oprah Winfrey and get softball questions, even though you know that you have hard answers. But there's still a few things that he would not answer. So he hasn't really come 100% clean. And really, once this documentary is over, this guy can just go away. Don't need him. Mm-hmm. There's one caller that said, don't like it.
Don't like it.
Don't like it. So go check this out.
Now that was a good movie.
There you go. So, all right. Kobe.
Yes.
How are things at your alma mater?
Oh, I am so glad you asked, Matthew.
This is welcome to Obvious Setup.
It's a good give and take there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, yeah, we're great undercover. Kobe, so Ronald's got the disc.
Caw, I've got her wallet.
Okay.
Here we go. Tonight, IU Cinema, Friday, December 6th, 6:30 p.m. Two films by Sue Friedrich, 1993 and 1990. 9:30 tonight, A Touch of Sin, this year.
Uh-huh.
Foreign language, do you know it?
Not personally. I know A Touch of Sin, but not that film.
Midnight movies.
This weekend?
Tonight.
Uh-huh.
IU Cinema, Twin Peaks, Fire Walk With Me.
David Lynch, not your favorite.
No.
But you need to see, you should see The Straight Story. That'll be the one David Lynch film you can handle. Well, you've already handled one.
Yeah. Not well. We'll get there.
No, Straight Story is much easier. It's a G-rated David Lynch movie.
Oh.
See?
Okay.
All right. And by the way, someday we will hope for the triumphant Phoenix rise that is what is Kobe watching.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Buckle in for this one, Matt. All right. Saturday, December 7th, IU Cinema, 3 p.m. from 1944. Meet Me in St. Louis.
Oh, that's the stuff, sir.
That is the stuff.
Fair Sweet Bianca, the former Twilight correspondent here at Film Sociology, we have to close the office, obviously, said, and we have to paraphrase because we're on radio, but Fair Sweet Bianca declared Meet Me in St. Louis as the musical that has the stuff.
Yeah, that movie is the stuff.
Was the actual, well, not the actual words. We can't say those, but you kind of get the idea because we're subtle radio here. Meet Me in St. Louis. So tomorrow at 3?
3 o'clock.
You going to tell Bianca?
Clang,
clang, clang.
Actually, we will be Christmas partying.
Really?
Yes.
In the daytime?
Mm-hmm.
You newlyweds.
7 o'clock, follow that up with A Touch of Sin again. Sunday, 3 o'clock, Touch of Sin. Sunday, 6:30.
A lot of sin touching in Bloomington. Look
yes.
at that.
Sunday, 6:30, IU Cinema, 2013, A Teacher.
Not The Teacher.
A Teacher.
And not Bad Teacher.
A Teacher.
No, you don't want to show that at IU.
Not Bad Teacher.
No. One car washing, that's really about it. All right. You know
he's
what I'm, he knows.
Up.
He knows what I'm talking about. I've worked with these two lovely people, and yeah, they both know of my dark side. So, all right, let's take a short break, and we will talk with Claire Robinson of Food Network. And then we'll talk with Kelly and Adam.
Yeah.
And yes, we'll have some other titles to talk about. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Thank you. Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store.
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler Hansborough. That's right. Film Sociology, your home for Tyler Hansborough information. That's right. Still, probably one of the top pictures of 2013. Yep. Him turning around and realize he almost elbowed Meta World Peace.
Yep.
Scary guy. All right. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook. Also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Hanging out with Kelly and Adam. Kobe's here as well. And, I got a small interview. I occasionally get onto these, emails that that you have an opportunity to interview people like we've had Molly Sims, Pat Malachmi, Jonathan Scott from the Property Brothers, and I got to talk to Food Network's Claire Robinson, host of Five Ingredient Fix, as well as Food Network Challenge, and as Kobe and I got to know one another, we had a mutual admiration over Claire and. I think the terms I saw her first started coming into fights. I'm sorry, disagreements. We don't fight. So, anyway, I got to talk to Claire. She's got a thing going with McCormick's, not the fine seafood place downtown, but the little red and white canisters.
The spices.
So anyway, here is my chat with Claire.
P.S. Welcome to the film portion,
the food portion of the film show.
Right. Here we go.
All right.
Matt, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's up?
How are you, Claire?
Good. How are you?
You know, I do a lot of studio work here at the station, and Wednesday mornings at 10, you keep me company.
I do?
Yes, you do.
Oh, I love that. So, I love that. I'm glad you're there on Wednesdays at 10. That's my moment.
Absolutely. I got to see you cook Russian food this morning.
Oh, did you see me poorly say Nastrovia?
Better you than me.
Yes, it took me a lot of practice, like about 2 days, sadly.
What is the five flavor forecast for 2014?
All right, this is so cool. McCormick, for their 125th anniversary, I'm really excited about this because it's a company that has literally been around for 125 years. So they've given so much to us. We all know those red cap spices. They're absolutely amazing. But they're also giving back this year. So for their birthday, they're kind of giving us presents. And one of them is their flavor forecast. This is interesting because you think that the flavor forecast is talking about the hottest flavors and trends and food that you're going to see over the next 1 to 3 years, but you think that it would be all about spice. It's not. It's actually legitimately the new flavors and the new food trends you're going to see coming in and out of kitchens over the next 1 to 3 years. And I think that it's such a neat thing. They've been doing this for 14 years. One of their previous flavor forecasts was in 2003, and it was Chipotle. And now that's everywhere.
Right.
So they're obviously right on the money.
So now, with somebody's, have you developed recipes for the new flavors?
I didn't actually develop any of the recipes. I'm just really excited to be working with them and talking about the flavor forecast. So, you know, what's so exciting is this is something that really helps people like me come up with, you know, with what I should be inspired by. So, for example, the trends have flavors within the trends. So they have five trends, Chili's Obsession, but within that, there's flavors like Chili's de Olivo. Now, Chipotle is one of the chilies that we all know, red pepper chili flakes. But it's, you know, they're telling me that they're forecasting that more and more people are going to know about something like Chili de Olivo, which is actually a chili I love. So that kind of gives me this inspiration to start using that more in my recipes, and hopefully people will learn more about it and actually be able to find it. They have clever compact cooking is one of their trends. But within that, you know, again, as I said, it's not all about spices. They're forecasting that people are going to start to use pressure cookers more and more. And because pressure cookers are more, I guess, multifunctional is the best way to put it, they'll be the new slow cooker. The way, you know, you can get dinner on the table faster than you can get takeout. So it's a really exciting way. They've written recipes, though, celebrating some of these new trends. And within the clever compact cooking, the flavor as well of tea. So lapsang souchong tea, is that something you've ever cooked with?
I have not personally, but now that you've mentioned it, I'll add it to the list.
You know, it's kind of like chicken or egg, which is predicting what. But they're forecasting that tea will become a hot ingredient for people that have these compact kitchens, these small kitchens, which I'm one of them. I'm from Tennessee. I moved to New York. My kitchen is so tiny, it's the size of most people's bathroom. That's pathetic. And so for me, I really have to think about every single thing in my kitchen. I don't have a pantry. It's my countertop. Mm-hmm. So I really try and use these ingredients in more than one way. Now, I'm a chef, but this is something that they're predicting will happen in everybody's kitchen. It'll become much more commonplace.
Well, it's funny. I think what you mentioned, the pressure cooker, I think everybody's worried about getting it locked correctly and, you know, getting steam shot in their face, that sort of thing. So I think once you actually know how to work it, then, you know, it'll be used more.
Exactly. But, you know, the interesting thing is it just takes that becoming more of a popular appliance. And for me, I would much rather replace appliances that don't have as much function with appliances I can use in more than one way.
Mm-hmm.
And pressure cookers, I mean, it's everything from putting together a quick chowder that has chorizo and this tea in it and smoky flavors of cumin and deliciousness. I'd rather have that on my counter and be able to last minute put something on the table than to have to think about it before I go to work, because let me tell you, I can barely remember my keys when I walk out the door in the morning. I'm not a morning person.
Well,
but, you know, it's, they're not, the funny thing is, you know, McCormick isn't selling pressure cookers. They're just predicting these really cool trends that you're going to see in kitchens, the flavors within those trends, like Mexico, you're going to see charred tomatillo, and Brazil, because we've got the World Cup and the Olympics, you're going to see guava and something called cassava flour.
Well, so what does 2014 look like for you? I know you got the cookbook. That's still running strong, and we hope to see you on the telly more.
Yes, I am. I am working on some new stuff. Fingers crossed that you'll get to see it by spring. I'm excited, and you know, in the meantime, it's really fun because I'm kind of in my creating phase right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing a lot of new recipes and looking for inspiration constantly, which is really excited. That's why I said I'm. You know, these recipes are McCormick recipes, but I'm using them as inspiration to write my own. So you might see a couple of wacky new ingredients in my few ingredient cooking, because I'm still sticking with my few ingredients. That's my thing, and it's the way I like it. I don't like to count on more than one hand.
It is less is more. I mean, I think five ingredient fix is one of the smartest concepts. I mean, that really brings it to if you can do it with five, you can make anything great.
Exactly. And you know what's great is I'm so complimented when somebody comes up to me and says, oh, I added this ingredient to your blank recipe. And it's to me, that's flattering because they made it their own. I'm giving them a wonderful base recipe that's good as is. But from there, that's how you really learn to cook. I want people to be the chef of their own kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So when you learn about new ingredients and you learn about new flavors that are supposed to hit your kitchen and you add them to recipes you already like, then you're a chef, and you are the executive chef of your kitchen.
Now, this is a film show, so I'm asking, have you been able to watch any new films recently?
Films? Oh, my goodness. Yes, I have. And I'm really excited. One of them has not come out yet. The Wolf of Wall Street. I was able to see a little trainer thing.
Uh-oh.
And it was awesome.
Excellent.
It was just awesome. I didn't even know how to tell you. It was so good. I can't tell you. I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
It's so good. I'm really excited. I really want to see the new one, The American Hustler.
Yes.
That's coming out. I think that's going to be great. And you know, I'm in New York, so we get into those indie films.
Of course, Tribeca.
Yes, Tribeca. Tribeca, and I actually live near the Angelica, so I go there and hit the new indie films. I just, you know, it's exciting. Right now, I feel like we've got a good film season coming up.
What are some of your favorite cooking moments in cinema? I mean, can you see somebody if they know how to work in the kitchen or not when they're being filmed?
movie-wise.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, we all seen Kitchen Confidential, right, with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yes.
She really worked hard to get the process of putting on her wife, the apron, the way she put them on. It really is for chefs, especially restaurant chefs that are in there every day. It is almost a ritual, and it's a very distinct, very specific process that's done the exact same every day. You don't miss a beat. She practiced that through and through, and I really felt like she looked like she knew what she was doing. She held a knife correctly. But yes, I catch all the time people that are holding a knife incorrectly, and and they're supposed to know what they're doing, and in 1 second I can tell they don't. One of my favorite ones, though, chocolat.
Yep.
That got the sexiest chocolate moment on television.
It also helps that Juliette Binoche has the over the shoulder dress handing you chocolates.
Yes. I mean, it's just good. It was good. I loved that one. Hi there, I'm Claire Robinson, and I'm so excited to be talking to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
She said she's excited to be talking to Film Sociology, so that includes me. So,
except she didn't talk to you.
Yeah, but she's talking to Film Sociology.
Yeah, that's true. Because we're a unit.
We.
That's right. Now, I couldn't interrupt her at the time, but I think she meant American Hustle, not American Hustler, because that's. I think that's a documentary about a magazine that we really shouldn't know anything about. Stop it, Kelly. And you already said enough off air. And then the Catherine Zeta-Jones film she was referring to is No Reservations. That was the one with her and Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
So there is that. In my imaginary contract, I have to be surrounded by smart women at all times. So Kelly is fulfilling that job. I'm now 5 foot. Thanks a lot. So I've knocked down a few. I try to maintain that I'm listening to my interviewee, and somebody apparently thought I had my mouth gaped open while I was in the recording studio. That's fine. It's all right. It's business as usual. So because of that interview, Cobe, we have dug up an old chestnut here at Film Sociology.
I see that.
Yes. So we have a new updated edition, and someday this will be longer than the highlight reel. What makes Cobe ill?
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Padma. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Gail, how are you?
Good. I'm glad. I'm great.
Yes, you're glad and great. You're glad and great.
Yeah, I am.
Congratulations.
Thank you. All you gotta tell me now is wow, 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 wow. Welcome to my work in a week. Oh, I know it don't thrill you.
I hope it don't kill you. Welcome to my work in a week. Three.
Hi there, I'm Claire Robinson, and I'm so excited to be talking to Film Sociology on WFYI in Indianapolis.
I forgot about the Costello thing in there.
Yeah, so Padma Lachmi, and then Gail Kim, a.k.a. Mrs. Robert Irvine. Mm-hmm. Elvis Costello, because you think it's unfair for Elvis to be married to Diana Krall.
You mean Mr. Diana Krall.
Mr. Diana Krall, that's right.
Yeah.
And then three, because that's the number of titles the Pistons have won. Mm-hmm. And then and now Claire. So
look at that! Look what you did all by yourself.
Occasionally I do audio, not as smooth as you, sir. But that's there. So actually, and speaking of which, there was a couple of IDs, because really the show is about the IDs. It's like Thanksgiving. It's really about the side dishes. We had a chat earlier this year with Ingrid Hoffman. This might make it in the highlight reel. For the end of the month, we will see. But we do have a first when it comes to Film Sociology. By the way, Cobe, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, what's happening with the cool down?
The cool down, has recently expanded its horizons.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So tomorrow night we will be, actually, what is tomorrow night?
Tomorrow is Saturday.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Sure.
Tomorrow night, what are we playing?
I don't know. What are we playing?
We are playing, it's a lot of salsa, merengue,
Bossa Nova?
No. No, see, we're expanding our horizons, so we're branching are you off covering from the
basically
Bossa Nova, the Samba,
Southern
for a little bit.
And Central America?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. That's a lot of territory.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you can hear that.
Tune in. We're going to party.
But partying. But so we have Ingrid Hoffman with two IDs.
Hola, amigos. Soy Ingrid Hoffman, de Delicioso y de Latin Delight. Estás escuchando Film Sociology aquí en WSYI en Indianapolis.
Which translated means this.
Hi, I'm Ingrid Hoffman from Latin Delight and Simply Delicioso. You are listening to Film Sociology, WFYI in Indianapolis.
Latin
Very nicely done.
Latin Delight is one of her programs, and yes, Kelly, I said it was also her autobiography title, and it worked. So there. All right.
Before we go any further, I wanted to ask you about something.
Ask away.
Because you have seen Frozen, correct?
I think we have all seen. Well, you have not, but
I have not.
I haven't.
I'm intrigued because I was browsing. I was cruising the
worldwide.
I was browsing the multiplex. I wanted to see what
that's called trolling.
Hey, can I try on that out of the furnace just for a second? Can I see how's that compared to Nebraska?
I was checking out the Heartland Truly Moving Pictures website.
Yes,
and they awarded the Truly Moving Pictures Award to Frozen.
Well deserved, I might add.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
I've been reading a lot of good things about Frozen online.
Well, I knew very little about the film going in. I knew it was a Disney film, and I knew there was kind of princess, you know, other princess stuff.
That's typically what you find in
a Disney film. So, and then I went on to IMDb, which of course is one of the top sources here at Film Sociology, along with The Onion. Mm-hmm. And I realized that one of the voices was Idina Menzel.
Love her.
Me too, different reasons. And also the fact that the gang who did The Book of Mormon did the music. So I was like,
really?
Yes, really. Yep. So you have to, so that like, oh, that they're not fooling around. And it turned out to be even more impressive than I thought. And probably because I had nothing coming in. It works as a Disney film on every facet. And what I mean by you have the princess, and in this one we have a woman who her power is turning things into ice, and it's being able to control her power. There is a sibling issue. Sibling things happen.
Kobe. I was just gonna say.
And that's voiced by Kristen Bell. And it talks about true love, but not just between man and woman, but between siblings. Thought I was going somewhere else. So you have that, you have the comedic sidekick, you have the little snow guy, and you have the fateful comedic animal. So there's
that's the moose.
That is the moose with his antlers. You have really good music, and actually worth checking out in 3D.
Really?
Yes. So and even the guys, there's one plot point that I don't want to give away, because Emma, the former kids film correspondent, she's 12 now. There was one character who was not in the trailer at all, and as we're watching, I'm like, how are they going to treat this? And it turned out to be quite a surprise. But I really, really enjoyed it, and you should go check it out. Kelly, you also saw it?
Cool.
Yeah. One thing I thought was really cool about it is, you know, a lot of times they'll put big name movie stars in these roles that
whether they have voiceover vocal talent or not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like Sound of Music. Yeah,
call back to Sound of Music earlier. No, but most of their stars are from original Broadway casts. You have Idina Menzel, who was in the original Broadway cast of Wicked. You have one of the guys from, I believe he was the original Prince in Broadway Cinderella, the revamp that they're doing now.
So folks who can sing.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's about making the music the best that it can be, and I think it translates really well as a Disney movie, but it makes everything about the film all the more incredible, and it's very well written.
So there you go.
I liked it.
Okay.
So I think you should check that out if you're not going to meet me in St. Louis. Oh, wait, you're partying during the day.
Partying.
Nice. Okay. Speaking of which, Kelly, over at the Christian Youth Theater, mm-hmm. Narnia opens next week.
Yes.
So how are the little ones?
They're doing great. You know, and one of the things that a lot of people think of when they hear youth theater, you know, I think Matt and I have talked about this before, the stereotype for kids theater is like there's the kid with their arms swinging.
Yes, the arm swing, yes. Arm swingers and foot starers. Yeah.
You know, the one that wanders across stage.
10 summers of barn rats, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing our best to chisel away from that.
Right.
And for a lot of parents, so long as their child is not bleeding, peeing, or crying on stage, it's a good show.
It's true. But
if they do, it's art.
There you go.
Thank you. Gigi Allen.
No, but the cool thing about Christian Youth Theater, or CYT as we call it, is these kids are really well trained. Like, the whole program of CYT is they go through classes and workshops, and they have people who are actually performers, actually professionals in their field, teach classes that these kids go through. So it's actually the same caliber of a show that it would be if it was done by adults, which is really incredible.
So it's Fame minus the Irene Cara subplot.
Yeah, a little less
nobody,
shame.
Nobody wants that.
No.
CYT, I'm just kidding.
No, but it's really a great show, and it's cool because you get to see, you know, we all kind of grew up with the C.S. Lewis stories and everything that, you know, there's Aslan and Mr. Tumnus and all those characters that you know and love from reading the books, and you get to see it come to life on stage, which is really neat to see. And it's cool to see the kids that go through the wardrobe are actually kids. They're actually the same ages as the characters in the book, which brings a really interesting realism. It's not like, you know, when you're watching Glee and there's 40-year-olds playing, you know, 15-year-olds.
I'll take this one, Adam. Like Rolf being 35 years old in Sound of Music or Stocker Channing being 35 years old in Grease. That's not sarcasm. That actually happened.
Yeah, that's real life.
So now what is the age range for the cast?
Well, CYT, it ranges, our program in general goes anywhere from age 4 to 18. I believe the youngest one that we have in the show is 8, I believe.
Aslan. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, but so we
also
have...
has the voice of Liam Neeson by some miracle.
But yeah, so we have everything from teeny, teeny, tiny kids to older high school students. So it's a really diverse group.
And they're able to work together?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing is a lot of kids... You know, our little kids might be intimidated to work with grown kids, and grown kids don't want to work with the babies. And it seems like the idea of ensemble is really pressed. What are you laughing over there?
I'm just imagining like a high school kid, like, I don't work with kids. I don't work with babies.
They're really difficult at times. So yeah. So how big a cast?
I believe there's about 50 in this cast.
Wow.
Yeah, it's up there.
Do you have them all on stage at one time?
Yeah, there are moments.
You are a strong, strong person.
Well, you know, I'm just in charge of marketing. Yeah, our directing team is incredible.
Who is directing this?
You know what? I have it written down.
No, it's okay. But please, pass along. Patience to Job. That's huge.
Yes.
You know, that's 50 attention spans that you got to focus in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's cool because they all love what they're doing. And so when they're on stage out there, everybody's focused all together. So it's really cool to see such a diverse group of kids kind of come together and make something that's so magical for the audience.
Excellent. So mm-hmm. it runs this next week.
It's next weekend. It's at Marion University is where we're going to be performing. And it's Thursday the 12th. We have two school day performances there, which will be at 10 o'clock in the morning and 12 o'clock p.m. And then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have performances that are open to the public. And those are at 7 p.m. And then Saturday and Sunday have 2 p.m. matinees.
And where can people go for more information?
You can visit our website, which is www.cytindy.org.
There's that. Now, Adam, tell us, when do you get to be on stage again as the cute one?
Right. Right. I get to be on stage with the cute one on January 22nd for the boy band show. That's Defiance Comedy. Matt Kramer's the brainchild of all of that. And it's really crass. It's not a place for
you. Yeah, I'll say this. We're really shifting gears.
Yeah,
this is like first
the polar opposite. Yeah. It's at the White Rabbit Cabaret in Fountain Square.
Yeah, they won't let kids in. So
no,
don't
bring your kids.
You can take them to the meadery, but don't take them to the White Rabbit.
Right,
so.
So yeah, that's happening on the 22nd of January.
Now, how many shows have you guys done so far?
Well, we've done one season, which means we did 4 episodes. What happens is, you'll see the first episode on January 22nd, and then a week and a half later, it'll be episode 2, and there'll be 4 episodes this season too. And basically, we're getting a new script every week, so it's really exciting.
It keeps you on your toes.
Yeah.
Now, did I hear you guys did an after party? A while back,
after the show, it's the after party.
No, that's not our after party. That's a whole different thing. Wasn't there an after show concert you guys?
Oh, we did a concert. Yeah. It was basically like it was kind of a catch up. It was like for people who hadn't seen prior episodes and they would have missed songs and such.
Mm-hmm.
We did a three or four song concert after one of the shows last season to kind of catch people up.
I think he's talking about the Boys to Men.
Yeah, concert. That's actually what I was going
on. This is why you bring your girlfriend.
We did the official,
yes, dear.
We did the official, the quote-unquote official after party for the Boys to Men New Kids on the Block concert.
Yeah.
None of them showed up.
Ah, they're lost.
Nor did a lot of people. It was a good show. It was a lot of fun. It was fun.
So was it an abbreviated thing, or you guys were just up there?
It was just songs. It was just like, you know, five or six songs from the from the sitcom.
All right. So there you go, folks. There's stuff to do. This is also part of the It's Okay to Go Out in Winter and See the Arts.
Go to Greencastle on Tuesday.
I'd be very sad if I didn't miss this.
Yeah. Tuesday, December 10th at 7 at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana. It's the Prindle Institute for Ethics Auditorium.
I'm not allowed there.
They're screening a short film that I shot over the summer called Mud Lotus. Ray Don Chong's in it. There's a professor, Ron Dye, from DePauw, who's in it. And a young actor from New York named Liz Chiarella. And it's just a four-person cast. It's a really great short film, and they're doing a screening of it on Tuesday. Chris White is the writer-director, and she's a brilliant professor at DePauw, and she's the one who put it all together, and it's really good.
Cool, so you can go check that out. And also we should mention, also running next weekend at Anderson University is the 1940s radio production of It's a Wonderful Life, which you two have been a part of. I have directed twice, and this year, Mrs. Soucy's directing it, so.
Oh, it's about time.
Wow. And the horse you rode in on. Anyway, that is next Friday at 7:30, and then there's a 2:30, 7:30 on Saturday, and then a 2:30 on Sunday, if you happen to be in Anderson. So, really, here, what's new on Blu-ray? Wolverine. It's better than the last one.
Watched it last night.
Yeah? You like it?
I liked it.
I wish there was more of him fighting the Yakuza, but that's
the
just
the post-credit scene is the best one I've seen in any of the Marvel movies.
That's true. I didn't see Smurfs 2 because I didn't see the first one. I'm afraid it would just leave gaping holes in the plot. So
you're worried about the plot.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I don't want to.
Probably
wanna,
be lost.
Adam, that's my way of getting out of that. And then Kobe, I'm surprised Fair Sweet Bianca hasn't latched on to the Mortal Instrument, City of Bones.
Watched it last night also.
Yeah? That's fun.
You just got all kinds of judged.
Yeah, I know.
No, there were other people in the theater when I saw it. Also, old title on Blu-ray, the Criterion has a really cool treatment of Robert Altman's Nashville. Also on Film Movement, the Dutch comedy, The Deflowering of Eva von End. That's not your show. But it's been referred to as Dutch Wes Anderson, although not as dry in the wit department. But it's a Dutch family that brings in a German exchange student, and guess what? Wacky things happen.
Oh, it's like God. Sound of Music.
Various chicanery.
Okay, we're going to dig up this thing and run it into the ground once again. So there is that. And of course, we heard finally, I have to apologize a little bit because I was on my Blue Show Saturday night when rumblings were coming on about the death of Paul Walker. And there was that slight wave where people weren't sure if it was a hoax or not. And we all know that it actually is the case. You know, best known, of course, for the Fast and Furious series. And one of those that I forgot he did some stuff. Like, he was in Pleasantville. I remember seeing him. That was the first thing I got to see him in. But also Joyride, Timeline, silly film, Into the Blue, Running Scared, 8 Below, pretty good. And he worked with Clint Eastwood in Flags of Our Fathers. So, salute, Paul. All right, some words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Kelly, Adam, thanks for hanging out. We appreciate it. Kobe, good to have you back.
Good to be back.
We'll try this again next week.
we'll try it again.
We'll try it again next week. And really, folks, Sound of Music, yeah, move on. Hate other things.
There's plenty out there to hate.
Okay, so go see a good movie or some live theater. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point at WFYI.org.
We're gone. Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.